That's where it starts. So it's not faith alone. Martin Luther invented faith alone, grace alone, the five solas.
Yeah. So what you need is, you need that faith. Then the Bible says you need the grace of God. So now you need faith and grace. Then we're not done. Then the Bible says you need to repent. Lest you change your mind and your ways, right? Didn't Jesus say repent? Then the Bible says you must be born from above. Faith, repentance, born from above. Now, the fruit that you're born from above is not you go to church, not you read your Bible, not that you're belonging to something.
Huh? Obedience?
Yeah, exactly. So the fruit, Hebrews 5:9, Christ made the way of eternal life, not for those who just believe, for those who obey him.
Sure, sure, sure.
So what they've done is Martin Luther, real quick, Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic priest.
I understand. I know, sir.
The Roman Catholics made it really hard to find salvation. So here's the ditch of Roman Catholicism. Martin Luther was in there. He overreacted and jumped into the easy believe ditch. He should have went to the middle of the road and said, that's wrong, that's wrong. Here's the truth. The truth is in the middle of the road. So I have an article on faith alone, grace alone.
I'm teaching blog. I started going through it, but I'll check it out.
Yeah.
You know, I like to say the gospel according to Abraham. It's on my website I gave you guys earlier. But how is Abraham justified, right? By faith alone, just by his belief.
That's not true. That's not what Paul says.
Yeah. What does Paul say?
Did when it comes to Abraham, what did Abraham have to do with his son?
So hold on. How was Abraham justified?
He's justified by faith.
Okay.
All right. But his faith was obedience. He believed God. So the faith and works. So James 2.
You're right.
Okay, so hold on. I want to share something with you. This is really important. This changed my life when I was an early Christian. No verse says faith alone.
Right.
No, not one verse. And no verse says grace alone. Not one verse. Do you know the only verse that says faith only?
I'm aware of it.
Which one is it? And what does it say?
You're not justified by faith alone. But what
they've twisted it.
Right. But Romans 10, 28, right? By works of the law shall no person be justified.
Right. That's the works of the law. That's Torah.
Which is any obedience to Jesus.
No, that's Torah. It's specifically talking about Torah. So this is what I said to you. Why are we not justified by the law? This is what, don't let people tell you, well, you're not justified by the law. Why are you not justified by the law? Why can't I be justified by the law?
It shows us our sin. That's all the law.
Because we've all broken the law.
It shows us that we're guilty.
Right. So here's the thing. We need Christ's perfect righteousness.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
So it's not alone, though, because then when Jesus gives us our perfect righteousness, and then he gives us his spirit through repentance, now the fruit is, I just read it in Ephesians. You know what we become? I love this. An inhabitation of God.
Sure.
So let me ask you a question. If God inhabits me, you think I'm going to go around sinning?
No, fair enough. You're right. So Abraham was justified by faith.
And Noah, let's go to Noah. I just preached it. What did Noah have to do to get saved?
And Abraham was sanctified by his sacrifice. So that was sanctification. That was 30 years after his justification.
Well, he would not. Abraham would have not received the promise if he was not obedient and faithful to God. Noah was righteous before God, and he believed God. What did Noah have to do to be saved from the wrath of the flood?
He built the ark.
What if he said, "I'm not building the ark. I'm going to go fishing"?
Right. Sure.
What would God have done to us?
Sure.
So always bring your faith with your works, and always know that they back each other up. And it's not works, because you need Christ's perfect righteousness. But here's what you need, young man. I say, young man, you need righteousness of your own. You need to be righteous.
So you're telling me that Paul said, "Jesus Christ, I've decided nothing among you except Jesus Christ and your works." That's not what Paul said.
Wait, what are you talking about? You just quoted what verse? You kind of concluded
1 Corinthians 2:2. You're telling me that Paul said, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and your good works."
Christ crucified.
No, he said Jesus Christ, exactly, Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Paul said he threw away all of his pharisaical ways Christ crucified. Everything else was dung.
Justification, sanctification, glorification is all the blood.
Right, but hold on. Period. So what? But wait a minute. You're doing what Luther did. So what you're saying
I'm quoting Paul.
No, I know that, but wait a minute. But Paul, you're quoting one spot of Paul. Paul also said,
many places.
Yeah, but Paul also said in Romans 6, do we keep sinning now that grace has come?
Right.
And Paul said in Romans 8, can you please God if you live in your flesh?
Right.
No, you must walk in the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. When you walk in the Spirit, does that mean you sin a lot?
No.
We don't.
Are you sinless, though?
No. I'm not sinless, but I don't live in sin.
Right, same here.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not preaching that we're sinless. What I'm preaching is, don't preach a gospel that says faith alone. No Bible verse says that.
Okay, fair enough.
Not grace alone. No Bible verse says that.
The blood alone. The Bible does say that.
It's not the blood alone.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. What verse says blood alone that we're saved by?
By a greater sacrifice in Hebrews.
Right.
The blood of Christ.
But how do we get that justification applied to us?
It's by believing John 3:16.
So you don't have, so a sodomite man. I'm going to ask a question. So a sodomite man has a boyfriend. he comes to the knowledge of Christ and says, I believe in the blood of Jesus, but I'm going to keep my boyfriend.
Look, fair enough. Look at
Lot. What will happen to
him? Look at unrighteous Lot. People laughed at him for Lot because he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like sodomy.
Right.
They were laughing at him because of his sinful lifestyle.
He was corrupt in ways.
His family didn't even believe him.
He was corrupt in ways.
But Peter says he was a righteous man because of his faith.
Right, because he had his faith, but he didn't live totally in unrighteousness. What do we know about Lot? He did one or two things unrighteous. What do we know about Noah? What did Noah do that was unrighteous? Remember? The Bible says Noah was a righteous man before God. What did he do?
You're giving me a lot of...
What did he do?
So the gospel according
to... He got drunk.
Right, I know, I'm aware. The gospel according to Abraham is he is justified by faith. 30 years later, he showed his faith was valid. Like
and
you said, James
faith
chapter
is
two.
Backed up by works.
Faith is backed up by works, but
always.
It's still maintained in Jesus Christ and crucified.
Of course, I can't get there without him, but my works prop up my faith.
Get there and maintain that faith.
Right? And here's one that you have to contend with. Hebrews 10:28. If we continue to willfully sin, there's no sacrifice. Yeah. So if you have a sin that you won't leave, and you know it's sin, and you stay in it, the blood doesn't cover you.
Sure.
So it's not faith alone. It's not grace alone.
It's also
repentance.
Yeah, I got you.
And obedience.
Metanoia, change of mind, metaneo.
And what does that do?
It literally means a change of mind. So if you look at Jesus and John the Baptist, when they're saying that, they're telling it to a religious people. They're telling them to change their mind from being a physical descendant to being a spiritual descendant. They're not saying to turn from their sins.
Of course they did.
Hold on. Just listen, they're telling that Jesus is saying that to the church in Revelation. The initial phase is change your mind of whatever's keeping you from believing in Jesus as the Messiah to receiving that.
No, repentance is more than a change of mind. What did he tell the woman caught in adultery?
That's after, it has to be after faith.
Right, and he told her, go, you have faith, now go sin no more.
So fair enough, but it has to be after faith.
That's right, so your faith and your works back up your faith.
Fair enough, but the moment we start to turn from our sin is the moment that we start sanctification process.
Yeah.
We mix
and
up,
you're not guaranteed salvation.
If we
have to endure in it. You're not a Calvinist, are you?
I'm a biblicist, just what the Bible says.
Okay, good. So Calvinism tells you believe and you're going to heaven no matter what.
No one can snatch from the Father's hand. The Father's greater than all. No one can snatch from Jesus' hand. That's what he said.
No, that doesn't mean sin can't snatch you from the hand, because the Bible tells us in all kinds of places. Jesus said, if you're my brother and I don't forgive you, I won't enter into the kingdom of God.
Sure.
That's sin that separates you.
Fair enough.
I got articles on all this. Look up my Calvinism tab. The Calvinism tab covers this, because you may not call yourself a Calvinist, but a lot of people, it bleeds into it because it's everywhere. It's in Lutheranism. It's in the Baptist faith. It's in the non-denominationals. And this faith alone, grace alone, which is not in scripture, the gospel is a recipe. And here's what it is. It's a covenant. My wife and I are married. We got married on one day. It said it was that day alone. No, we got married on that day. Now, faithfulness, love, caring, together,
sure.
It's a recipe. We enter a covenant with God through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. Can't get there without him. I can't work my way there. Repentance, turning from my ways, because I'm a vessel of God, born from above. I'm a vessel of God and I no longer keep sin. All these American Christians tell me, I sin all the time. I keep sin, but God covers me. God does not cover sin you keep sinning on. You make a mockery of God. God gives us the power to turn from our sin. We used to be worldly drunks.
She used to smoke and I used to fight. Sure.
Turn from your sin. That's the power of God. And then holiness and obedience, without which, Hebrews 12, no one will see God without holiness.
His righteousness, his holiness, not mine.
Yes, you know you must be holy.
Trust me, I am not perfect.
Didn't say perfect. Perfect holiness is God. Holiness described for you and I, 1 Peter 1:15, be ye therefore holy. God is not a Satanist that would tell you to do something you can't do. He commands you to be holy. To be holy means to be set apart for God. He tells me to be faithful to my wife.
It's faithful to my wife. It's faith in the blood of Jesus.
It's how you live your life. Sanctified, set apart, holy is following Jesus, not the culture.
Yeah.
If you follow the culture, Jesus is coming to judge
you. Through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't do it in your own strength.
Through faith in Jesus Christ, and then your works and repentance. Yeah. Works are part of your faith. You cannot get out of that.
Course,
go read James.
Sure.
You cannot get out of it. You're just trying to get out of works.
Sir, you keep saying it's just blood.
You said the blood only. What verse says blood only?
The gospel according to Abraham is justified by faith, and he is sanctified by offering his son to validate his faith. It's still faith. It's faith.
Abraham would not have had faith if he didn't obey God.
It's faith. Right?
Noah would not have been saved from the flood if he didn't obey God.
Faith
and obedience. Faith and works. James 2.
Justification and then sanctification.
Don't keep... You can't be sanctified as you live in sin, sir. You have to repent and come out of your sin. We love you. Test yourself. Send me an email and look up those articles.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I like what I hear.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
How are you? Hi. Yeah, we're just here lifting up Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel. That man is a good example. We love him. He I don't know if you were there when he said it. He walked up and I said, what's the gospel? He goes, faith alone. And I said, what Bible verse says that? There isn't one. And he said, well, so he's kind of leaning on Lutheranism. Well, we can't work our way to heaven. No, I didn't say you can work your way to heaven. But you're not saved by faith alone, because God says, I'll call you by faith. And then through your repentance, I'll transform you. You'll be born again. Now I give you the power to walk in my word and my ways. You won't be perfect. You have a flesh you have to fight. But you can be doctrinally perfect. You can leave Christmas, which is a pagan holiday. You can leave Easter, which is a pagan holiday. You can leave the culture that leads you into sin and wicked and decadence. Easter, the worship of Ishtar. Yeah. And then you can obey God and endure in the faith. Yes. I was just telling him, you weren't here. Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic monk. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were telling people all these things you got to do to work your way to heaven. That's a Roman Catholic is a pagan religion. Here's what Martin Luther did. Instead of going for the truth, he went like this into the other ditch of easy believism, faith only, where the truth is right between those two that says you need works, you need faith. The two prop each other up. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. So remember, whenever you're seeking God, the truth is always in the middle of the road and there's a ditch on each side. People are Roman Catholics, they run into evangelicals. People are evangelicals, they run into Mormonism.
The scripture I think of to support the work specifically is about bearing fruit in general.
Yeah. And absolutely.
That completely supports
the
works element.
He wants to just ride on Abraham. Abraham would not have even been called righteous if he didn't obey God.
Right.
And you're talking about John, like John 15. Jesus said, you will abide in my love. Now, everybody wants, all the people that believe in Jesus want the love of God. I'm going to go to heaven. And I say, how do you get the love of God? And they go, believing. And I go, that's part of it. What else? And they go, we go to church on Sunday. And I go, man, I got baptized. And I go, well, those are part of it. Jesus said, abide in my word and my love will be with you and abide in you. As I abided with my Father.
And
I always ask people.
Yeah. I mean, you're a sieve for it.
Yeah. I always ask people.
You got to put it in.
Yeah. Jesus comes. Jesus comes fully man, fully God. Now, Jesus walks the earth. Can you imagine what people would have thought of Jesus if he would have said, well, I have the ability to be perfect, but I'm going to sin a lot. I'm probably not going to obey my Father all the time. His grace is going to cover me. They'd go, what a weak Savior. Now he gives us his Spirit. Now we can't be perfect like him, but we can walk and go, you know what? I can obey this Savior. I can follow his word. I can keep his ways. I can be faithful to my wife. I can be faithful to God. Yes, my sin is right. My flesh is right there ready to trip me up anytime. But you know what? It's a glorious thing. Those cops came over here today. And right, yeah. And they were telling about the space. And I deal with cops a lot. I'd be a street preacher, okay? And I got a little bit in my flesh. And I was a little rude to them. And I basically said, why are you talking to me? I haven't broken any laws. Because there's a lot of cops that don't, they think they're the law. They forget they're just upholding law. They're not the law. Well, I had to go back and apologize. And that was in my flesh. Repent of it. Go apologize. Leave it. I don't live in it. If you live, I just quoted that to him. If you live in your sin, Hebrews 10:26, there's no sacrifice. You're married, right?
Yeah,
if your wife had a boyfriend, amen, you'd be devastated, right? What would you ask her to do? If she said, you're right,
stop.
Give up your boyfriend. Yeah. Now, I ask men this all the time. I said, what if your wife said, well, take me back, but I'm still going to go see him two or three times a year?
Because of my flesh. I don't.
You wouldn't stay in that covenant.
And that, no, it's a perfect example because if we're the bride of Christ.
Exactly. So men, you and I have this standard for our wives. Man, don't touch another man. Don't even look at another man. Here's our standard for God. I'm a sin all the time. See what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And I blame that on American churchianity. Ooh. Listening to the pastors.
Yeah.
And
did
you get a gospel card?
I did. Yeah.
On my website, don'tperish.com, I have thousands of articles. All for free. We don't want your money. What we want people to do is open the scriptures and start testing everything they hear, believe, and see in the culture, in the pulpit. And when you do that, you're going to find out hardly anything is true out of this culture and man-made religion. You know where the truth is?
In the word. Yes.
Not my truth.
That's right.
Not his truth. Not our truth. The word.
Yeah. A couple things I heard you saying as I walked up. I was like, you right on the pre-tribulation rapture.
Oh, yeah.
Not happening.
Great deception.
Exactly.
Great deception.
Exactly. And how many people are going to be opposed when they think that, you know, they're supposed to be disappearing and being pulled out of this and they have to experience all.
It's so clear. Matthew 24, he comes at the end of the tribulation. First Corinthians 15, Paul says, at the last trump, we are going to, people say, oh, you think we're going to suffer wrath? And I go, yeah. And they go, wow, you're a heretic. You think we're going to suffer the wrath of God? And I go, you didn't ask me whose wrath.
We're going to suffer Satan's wrath. Right? The Bible says that. We're going to have to face Satan's wrath. And Revelation 10:11 says, we're going to overcome, I love this verse, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And you know what it says? It says, when we love not our life unto death. The American culture loves their life. They want to hold on to freedom, comfort, pride, vanity. And Jesus says, throw down that life because it's fading. It's going away. When he returns, those rocks are going to explode into nothingness. Did you know Thomas Jefferson took a penknife and cut Jesus' words out of the Bible? He was an Antichrist type. Look at, we lift him up. George Washington was a occult Masonic deist. A deist is basically, do you know what a deist is?
Yeah, somebody that believes in one God.
Well, no, a deist is they believe in God, but this is your son, right?
Yeah.
So you have this son, and instead of you caring for him, looking after, loving him, you just have him and walk away from him. That's what they believe God is. God is like, I created you, but I really don't have anything to say with this.
Sure.
It's an impersonal, it's a new age God.
That's almost an agnostic.
Yeah.
And allow for that.
George Washington was known. Whenever they did the Lord's Supper and started speaking about Jesus, he got up and walked out. And these are the men we lift up on rock. So this is why I travel and I go to patriotic places, but we go out, stand outside religious places. Mm-hmm. We preach at events. We were preaching at the Super Bowl, Daytona 500. We just preach at some false music fests. We go out in the streets. We go all over.
Did you go to Sturgis?
Full time. Last year we preached at Sturgis the week before it goes on. We won't go and preach at Sturgis.
Mm-hmm. You believe God's a creator?
I do.
You'll enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. He is the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator. John 1. Yeah. What is that, sir?
That's my book.
Is there contact info on there? Can I reach out to you via that?
You can find the book.
What do you mean, find the book? Ken Goss. Do you take... This is a phone number?
No.
Oh, what is it? E-book. Oh. You wrote a book?
Yeah.
Do we need more books than the Bible?
Yeah.
We do.
How come? Because you got to explain the Bible.
So we need a book. Don't we just teach what the Bible says? Is that what your book does?
Yeah.
Teach what the Bible says. Let me ask a question.
Okay. Let me get you going here. Okay. The book says that scripture and science tell the same story of origins. Now you got to read it to figure
okay,
out
yeah, well,
how
okay,
that works.
But let me ask a question. Do I have to buy your book?
E-book's only $3.
Really? Jesus said give freely. Why are men selling the things of God?
It's not a thing of God. It's a thing of mind.
Oh, but you said it's got scripture in it.
Absolutely.
But then it's of God. Why would we sell the things of God? Jesus made a whip in John 10 for that.
I'm not selling things.
I got to get $3 to get it.
Okay. You pay $3 to get
Would you mail me one for free?
You pay $3 to get the first 80 pages and the last 20 pages that have all the scripture references are free.
Would you mail me one for free if I give you my address? Then you're not giving freely. Jesus made a whip in John 2 for people that sold the things of God. We love you. Think about that. Think about that. So this is a good example. I'm just standing here. So people walk around. And if I came up to you and I said, hey, I got a website. It'll really bless you. $5.95 a month. You'd go, well, huh? Can't you work to support yourself? Or here you go. Doesn't God, who owns the universe, fund the people that really should be out doing ministry rather than going, please give me $20. I'm out of gas in my car.
Yeah.
And you see how people are. There's an arrogance there. I wrote a book. And I'm like, oh, do we need another book? Okay, we teach the word of God. Do I have to buy it? Yeah. Well, it's like, here, hold on. I'm going to look into that. But we meet so many people out here that you just try to lovingly only get a couple seconds because you can see they don't want to talk long. And John 13 says, this will be the sign of God's people, their love for each other. And when you love people, you stand, you talk, you take time, you show concern, care.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the love. Not this culture does not know what love is. Test yourself at the website. Let us know how we can help you. Repent. Come out of the culture. Come out of Sunday church. It's deceiving Americans. Don't follow after the ways of this culture. Jesus is coming to judge the culture. James 4:4 says to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. Repent. We love our neighbor.
Have you ever heard about...
What's your first name, by the way?
James.
James. I'm James.
Hey.
And this is my wife, Debbie.
Excellent. Hey.
Oh, who's this?
This is Finn.
Finn. F-I-N?
F-I-N-E.
F-I-N-E. Yeah.
No. N-N.
Finnegan. And is that short for anything or just Finn?
Finnegan.
That's a nice name. You like that name? That's a nice name. I can tell you're your dad. I can tell you're your dad's son. How do I know that? How do you think I know that I can tell you're your dad's son? Because you look like a little carbon copy of him.
Uh-huh.
That's how God does it. He makes you like your parents.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where are they going? They were able to track when the Star of Bethlehem was fully aligned and find out the exact date.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, I've heard.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about that.
Kind of devastating, especially for American Christians.
Yeah. Why is that?
To hear that the birth of Christ was on September.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. You'll hear me, like I said, teaching people against the pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter. Here's one for you. Have you ever thought about this? Good Friday in America. Right? Good Friday. All the evangelicals and Roman Catholics practice Good Friday, and they practice Resurrection Sunday. Right? Sunday morning. So I have a question for you. Is Jesus Christ a liar?
No.
All right. How many days did he say he'd be in the grave?
Three.
How many nights did he say he'd be in the grave?
Number nights.
Like Jonah, 3 days and three nights, he said.
Okay.
Can we get 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning? Not even close. The best closest you can get is like two. And so the answer is they've taken on Roman Catholic man-made ways, saying Jesus died on Friday and rose on Sunday. Here's the answer. I have an article on this. He died on a Wednesday. It was the day before the high Sabbath, Thursday. He was in the grave Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He was in the grave Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He rose on Saturday. Do you know why? These are Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4. Isn't that beautiful? But the Catholics turn Sunday into a new Sabbath. And they call it the Lord's Day. The Bible does not teach Sunday's the Lord's Day. Now, people can gather any day of the week.
I've always asked about that.
Yeah.
Specifically pastors. And they seem to reference it in that's when the disciples gathered.
But there's three times they gathered on a Sunday. That's it. And then in Acts 2, you know what it says? They gathered daily. You don't hear, when was the last time you heard a pastor? And they gathered in each other's houses.
Right.
And they broke bread together. So when was the last time you heard a pastor say, let's gather daily in my house, your house? And they don't do that. They go Sunday because it's a Roman Catholic handed down system.
Right.
And the Roman Catholics, it's from sun worship.
Full immersion for sure. See you there.
Yeah.
It's
difficult.
It might seem rude, but there's a lot of times I don't have much to say to people that, you know, do the bless your belly and they walk away and they don't want to take 10 seconds to stop. The rapture is coming at the end of the tribulation, not before. Don't be deceived by pre-trib.
It's a big deal.
What's that? Yeah, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. Go read 1 Corinthians 15, Matthew 24. Jesus said he's coming at the end. There'll be one escape. Well, we got to suffer the wrath of Jesus in the tribulation. No, there's only one coming, sir. There's only one coming, one second coming. He came once, he's coming again. He doesn't come three times. I got an article on it. Look it up at don'tperish.com. That's a great deception. And you know where that really comes from now in this culture today?
Which one?
The free trip.
Oh. I think that's part of what will be, there's pastors that talks about people will kill believers and they'll say they're doing it in the name of God.
Oh yeah.
And I think that that's part of it.
Yeah, it is. That came along in the Darby ways in the 1800s. Darby came along, but you know when it really made, it had a little bit of gaining in England, but not much. You know when it really gained footing? This just shows you, how old are you?
39.
Okay, 39. I'm 58, so I got you beat by about two decades.
Yep.
Tim LaHaye's books Left Behind.
Yes.
They started printing those. It's all pre-trib. That's why this culture went pre-trib.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus has taken me out.
He's the guy from the 70s that wrote The Late Great Planet Earth.
Hal Lindsey.
Yep.
All those books, like this guy wrote a book outside of Scripture.
Yes.
I just teach what Scripture says. They write books outside of Scripture.
Yeah.
And
it changes people's interpretations.
It changes people's minds. It's new theology. It's new doctrine.
Yes.
So we just encourage people to really study the Word of God, see what is really true, like a Berean, Acts 17, and test everything. If you go to a Sunday church system, start looking at what they do, how they live, and start applying the word. And the Bible says to come out and be holy. And if people do sinful ways like the pagan holidays, it doesn't say we're to stay united to them. What it says is we're to repent of that, get outside of that, like a mud puddle or a quicksand. If your son fell in quicksand, please don't jump in to save him because you're both going down. You throw him a rope. He holds on and you pull him out. We're all jumping. America's all jumping in the denominational quicksand. And everybody's going down. We need saints to stand out and go, no, no, that's not true. Hold on. We'll pull you out. We'll get you cleaned off into true gospel. And everybody wants to just follow the culture and a religious system. We're to be following Jesus.
Eyes on the prize.
Yeah, amen. And keeping all of our ways according to him.
Yeah.
Do you live around here?
Nebraska.
What part of Nebraska?
Omaha.
We're headed to Nebraska.